Brethren, I'm going to bring some thoughts to you from the book of Matthew, basically chapters 5, 6, and 7. Now, naturally, we're not going to cover all of these chapters in their length and detail, but we are going to consider them for the thoughts that we'd like to bring forth. So let's start off by saying we're going to look at where Jesus was addressing a number of Pharisaic approaches to improper reasoning on a number of points. Having said that, we see that the brethren at that time experienced so many different things by watching our Lord. Jesus's many admonitions, his dispositions on so many points, and of course they watched so many miracles and his prayers. I think it would have been wonderful. I would have really appreciated the opportunity in my life of listening and kneeling in front of Jesus and listening to one of his prayers. You know, the Pharisees would do good works, brethren, simply to be seen by others. Now, on the other hand, the disciples of Christ would be moved by the Holy Spirit to do good works. And we've been talking about that. They are the fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And these works were also seen by others. So what Jesus was explaining here is displayed in two different intentions of the heart. One is wanting to be recognized by others. The other is to give without anyone aware of what you are doing, so as to not draw attention to yourself. Sometimes that's hard to do. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 15 and 16, letting your light shine. So it's okay when people become aware of the good things that you do, naturally without our own boasting. That's very important here. Letting your light shine just not on yourself. And I think that's what Jesus wanted to express to his disciples. He wanted to express to us. And he basically wanted to express that to those who were listening to him instead of the Pharisaic way of approaching that. They always wanted to have everything focused upon them. And we'll look at that in a minute. So we're going to use a simple expression here of letting your light shine. Here's a slide. For example, if I am given a flashlight, and I point it at my face, how can I see? It's obvious everyone will see me, but eventually I am destined to stumble and fall. So God gives us his light and wants us to let it shine so all the world will see him, not us. And I think that's the important example that Jesus wanted to express. And he battled that with these many Pharisaic points that in the book of Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are brought forth. One of them has to deal with praying. Here we see the example of the wrong spirit is given in Matthew 6, 5, and 6, 7. Praying for the sake of being seen. Praying for standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. Jesus kind of made a reference to it as babbling or vain repetitions. Also drawing attention to your good deeds in public. They would do that with trumpets in the synagogues and the streets to be honored by others. And naturally, they looked the part. They had the dress. They had the garb that was drawing attention to themselves. It is what is stated in Matthew 6:2, which Jesus mentioned is what he admonishes not to do. He kind of referred it to a hypocrite. And he said a hypocrite is a person who acts in contradiction to his or her own stated beliefs or feelings. In other words, saying something you supposedly believe, but in turn not practicing what you preach. So Jesus wanted to teach his brethren what was appropriate. The Pharisees weren't doing that. So many listened to Jesus. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was teaching his disciples, saying, "Here, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works, your deeds, and glorify your Father in heaven." Matthew 5:16, taken from the NIV. But a little while later, he said this: "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them." Matthew 6:1 from the NIV. What did he mean by that? What did Jesus mean by these two different points? I think that's the import of our subject matter. So far, we've covered a small portion of it. But our focus for the remaining moments we have is on a question the disciples had for Jesus to help explain this teaching. So let's look at this point here. What did Jesus mean by each of these statements in Matthew 5, 6, and 6:1? Do they contradict one another? For example, let's take a look at the question the disciples asked our Lord. A very important question. "Lord, teach us to pray." Luke 11:1. Now, that seems kind of an unusual question, because the disciples certainly heard John the Baptist praying. They probably prayed amongst themselves on many occasions. They also heard the Pharisees praying in the streets and the synagogues. When it concerns prayer, Jesus gives us a good example in regards to all this. Matthew 6:7, "When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." He also said in this 8th verse of Matthew 6, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So Jesus here wants the world to know God's glory. That's the import of his point here. The Pharisees were not doing that. They wanted to know, Jesus wanted all the people that were listening to him to understand who the Heavenly Father was. Yes, he was speaking and they heard him. And that cannot be done without ourselves committing to a certain amount of exposure. So I think of that when I'm in the public, and I think you do as well. When we pray in public, we are obviously exposing ourselves. The question is, do they hear you? Do they see you or the Heavenly Father through you? We each have to answer that in our own way. Jesus gives some very good, simple principles. Jesus made his model prayer. He gives us 6 simple principles. Number 1, that we all reverence God first. Number 2, the kingdom come, his kingdom, Heavenly Father's kingdom, come on this earth. And then number 3 will follow in Jesus' footsteps, follow in his son's footsteps, like we've just been hearing. Then he speaks of three principles related as petitions for human needs. Four, physical sustenance. Spiritual forgiveness, number five. And six, moral leadership. Let's take a quick look at each one of these. Let's start with Matthew 6:9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. A very appropriate way to start his prayer. Reverence to God first and always. Hallowed be thy name. You know, hallowed means to keep holy and set apart greatly and greatly revered and honored. The kingdom will be born out of a desire to serve God, not to gain the praise of men. Saying our Father starts out by setting the priorities first, brethren. Hallowed means sacred. It means praise. It means divine. It means strong reverence. The only ones in this category that I believe is the Heavenly Father and his dear Son. We have to have trust in that. We have to believe that. So when we go to Matthew 6:10, it says that he will be as perfectly followed on earth as it is in heaven. Understanding that and have trust in that. When he met with his disciples, this is one of the things that he would express to them. Lack of trust in our Heavenly Father produces anxiety that results in the substitution of material things for trusting the relationship with God. Such a misplaced trust confuses values and it wears down reason. So therefore, in other words, don't worry, as the scriptures state in Matthew 6:25-34. 25 says, don't worry about your life. Hence, the injunction is to be seeking constantly to fulfill the principles of his kingdom, verse 33. And that's stated from the NIV, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. Thy kingdom come. Then he goes on to state something very simply. Give us today our daily bread. You know, when I look at that scripture that you have before you in Matthew 6, verse 11, give us today our daily bread. I wonder if it's been lost sight of. I think we live in a supersized world. And then after that, we wonder, how did I ever get this way? And then when we get confused with that, we look for all the different distractions that are out there. So we have to ask ourselves, when is enough really enough? Or is there always something more that we want? Where does the key word come in? Moderation. I enjoy all these things. I know we all do. But the world has lost sight of, give us this day our daily bread, because so many do not have. So let's go to the 12th verse. Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. You know, there's so much pain on the face of this earth. How do we handle that with others? When there are so many who need help, like Peter did when he cried out, and Jesus reached to help him and to lift him up, and the sorrow that is so prevalent. How are we helping and encouraging? What messages do we give? Hopefully it's non-discrimination. And it's a way that we can help those who are hungry, who are in need. Jesus said, feed my sheep in John 21:17. You know, Jesus' standard of judgment reveals the degree of maturity and therefore is the standard by which we all are judged. He even died for the Pharisees, brethren, and for those who were nailing him to the cross. So in that 12th verse, when we look at it, Jesus' standard of forgiveness is a powerful one. Jesus' power to forgive is and will be the standard of the kingdom. It should be now as well. Admitting at times that I was wrong. Can we start over? See each other, set each other free. Give each other the opportunity to reason and think and come up with solutions and answers that will encourage our life and our walk. And don't be discriminative of it. You know, worldly forgiveness and spiritual forgiveness, there are two different types. I kind of look at worldly forgiveness as stating, I'll forgive you, but I will never forget what you did. Spiritual forgiveness, I think, is I will forgive you and will never, ever bring it up again or remember it. Just like Jesus did with Peter. When Peter blasphemed the Lord, and the Lord answered, do you love me, Peter? John 21:15. Matthew 6:13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, those are moral leadership qualities. They don't deal with discrimination, as you see here. They don't just follow the crowd because someone looks a little bit different. They appreciate one another. Appreciation. Or do we do the checks and balances? Do we really look at who we are and who the others are around us and appreciate them? You know, the brethren have mentioned one very important point, and I think it's very powerful today. In Matthew 6:13, deliver us from the evil one. You know, we have to be sober. We have to be vigilant, as Peter said, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is going to destroy you if you give him the chance. You know, the word vigilant comes from the Greek word gergorio, which means to be on guard, to be watchful, or to be attentive always. The word primarily denotes the watchful attitude of one who is on the lookout to make certain no enemy or aggressor can successfully gain entry into his life or her place of existence. And we all have them, brethren. But yet the world wants to enter into our political and our financial and our religious understandings. How do we battle it? I think it's a beautiful prayer. It's a very simple prayer, Matthew 6:9-13. And it's very non-discriminatory. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The kingdom will be born out of a desire to serve God, not to gain the praise of men. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom will truly be a blessing for all mankind when Christ and the church are complete. Give us today our daily bread, the necessities of life, temporal and spiritual, and then finding out when is it enough. And then forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgiveness is a powerful key in understanding God and his dear son. And always lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There was never a time when there was greater need of this petition than now. You know, what a simple prayer, brethren, but I believe covers everything in God's divine plan of the age. Lord, teach us to pray. I think Jesus expressed it very well when he said, and the brethren have mentioned, love one another as I have loved you, John 15:12. To God be the glory.